News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:07 now. Telephone line, or if you want to text, 251-343-0106. Let us know what's on your mind. And also Rob Hulbert with Lanyap Mobile. Come the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Rob about some items here in the city.
And of course, plenty more to get to, including two debates agreed to with President Biden and former President Donald Trump. And did you know there's another cocaine investigation in D.C. This time it's actually in the Capitol Police headquarters. So we'll delve into that investigation here later this hour. But I've been promising it all morning. We don't play games on this show very often.
We don't play them often enough.
Often enough, I would say.
You got to lighten things up a little bit.
Lighten the mood sometimes. Yeah. And I think this is pretty common with more and more of us every year. You look at the Hangout Festival lineup, which begins tomorrow in Gulf Shores. Over 40,000 or around 40,000 people expected to be down there this weekend. And we've already gotten a lot of interaction on the text line this morning about Hangout Fest. But for me, as I get older, I look at the lineup when it comes out, and I don't recognize probably at this point 70%, maybe 75% of the names on that list. Now, you have the headliners, and I think most people, if you're not totally aware of what they sing or who they are, you've at least heard the names in passing. And the big name this year is Zach Bryan, who's just exploded onto the scene.
That is not a band.
That is not a band. That is a man. But he has a band behind him.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're trying to go ahead and play the game.
Trying.
No, Zach Bryan's the guy.
Okay.
He's a real real headliner, and that should be good this weekend.
Well, the guy hasn't introduced himself to me yet.
So you don't know Zach Bryan?
No, I kind
of
do.
Okay, yeah, you've heard the name. We have some of his audio that plays here. Lana Del Rey, a headliner. The Chainsmokers, Odessa. So those are all real, Dan. I get those out of the way.
And I would have gotten 3 out of 4 of those.
Yeah, and then my favorite, one of my favorite bands, Cage the Elephant. They make their return to the Hangout Fest. I saw them years ago there. But then there's a lot of other names, and I just don't know who they are. So I figured, well, I bet Dan doesn't know a lot of these either. So we'll play, is it a fake band, or is it a real band that will be playing on the beaches?
Fake or real band, okay.
Yeah, fake or real band. Now, when you get it right, you will hear the soothing tones of Metallica's James Hetfield.
He's
telling you got it right.
I got it right.
Yeah.
That'll be very affirming.
And then when you're wrong, well, we brought in Alanis Morissette to give us a little help.
No!
No. Okay.
So that should be pretty clear.
Caught me off guard a little bit there. Okay.
I have Leanna keeping tabs of Dan's score in the other room. You can play along on the text line, 251-343-0106. So let's play.
I've got a theory on this. Go ahead.
A fake band or a real band name? And we'll get it started right here. Is this, Dan Brennan, a fake band or a real band name? Little Stranger.
Could you play some of their music, please?
I cannot. That will not be part of this game.
Little Stranger is a real band.
You say Little Stranger is a real band. Let's check with the judges.
Yeah,
you got that one right. Little Stranger is indeed a real band name.
Okay.
All right. Let's get it.
How am I doing? So far,
you're 1-0, just like the Georgia Bulldogs start most years.
Yes.
So Little Stranger is a real band name. All right. Band number two, get ready to reveal yourself. Would you say that the band Chromeo is real or fake?
Fake.
You think Chromeo is fake?
Fake.
Let's check with the judges.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Alanis says
I got it wrong.
You're wrong. Chromeo is a real band, and they will be playing at the Hangout Fest this weekend. All right. Real band or fake band? Monster Face.
Fake band.
You think they're a fake band?
That's a fake band.
Checking with the judges.
Yeah.
No, you got that one right.
Monster Face is a fake band.
Monster Face, that is the Dylan Waller with Waller K9, who we saw at Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. That's the nickname he has given my hound. He calls him Monster Face.
Okay, so here's what I thought Monster Face was from. You have two little girls in the house. It sounds like something they would come up with. So as you were this week, we're preparing for this this game. I thought one of them said, "Hey, yo, monster face," and then you were like, "Hey, there's one."
No, but they have called me other names this week. That would probably have actually been good fake band names. All right, band name number three. Is this a fake band or a real band?
Wait. I think we're number four, are we?
Oh, you're right. Fake band number four. Is this a real band or a fake band? Disco Lines.
That is a real band.
You think it's a real band?
Real band.
Let's check with the judges.
Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Line, huh? Yeah, you are correct on that one. All right, real band or fake band? Kiki Wonderboat.
Kiki Wonderboat. I think Kiki Wonderboat is lost at sea, to be honest with you. I'm going to say Kiki Wonderboat is a fake band.
Fake band. Let's check with the judges. You're doing really good.
I know.
See,
what,
I was thinking,
4 out of 5, or what am I right now? So I've got 4.
You're 4-1.
4-1.
You've missed one. You've
missed
gotten
one.
4 correct. Now, I was trying with these fake band names. I couldn't make them too ridiculous, mm-hmm. but just ridiculous enough. So far, you've cracked the code. Doesn't seem like it's been that difficult. All right, next band name. Is this a real band or a fake band?
And it's a real band. By the way, these are bands at Hangout.
The real bands here are playing this weekend at Hangout.
Okay.
Father Normand.
Father Normand. I think I did a confessional to Father Normand one time way back in the day. You don't want to do
Father Normand.
Is it a... do 5 Hail Marys. I don't know what I'd done that week, but it's pretty bad. Father Normand is a real band.
You think Father Norman's a real band?
Real band.
Let's check with the judges and... Oh, man, I'm sorry. Father Normand, I just came up with that last
night. That's a good one, man.
That's a good one?
Yes.
All right.
I love the name. That sounds, Leanna, that sounds like a band, right? Father Normand just kind of, yeah.
All right, well, so 4-2 for Dan right now. All right, let's keep this going. Is it a fake band or is it a real band name? Buddy and the Icebreakers.
That's a real band.
You think Buddy and the Icebreakers is a real band?
Yeah, I think I've heard of them.
Let's check with the judges.
No!
I have not heard of them, evidently.
Buddy and the Icebreakers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the no's are coming back.
Yeah, a bit of a losing streak here. Buddy and the Icebreakers is not a real band?
Now, I came up with all of these off the top of the head. If it is a band name, they're out there. No one's probably heard of them.
You didn't know.
And they're certainly not playing at Hangout this week if it is a real band. But no, Buddy and the Icebreakers, I just came up with that last night.
Hang on. Here's two things. All right, I'm writing this down. Band names that should be band names. Father Normand.
Okay.
I love that. And Buddy and the Icebreakers.
All
those are legit names. Those work.
Buddy and the Icebreakers.
Talk to any record executive out there. You're on to something.
And Buddy and the Icebreakers, I mean, they're just asking you to open for them.
Yeah.
With that name.
Yeah.
All right. Is it a real artist, band? Or is it a fake artist band? And the real ones, of course, playing at Hangout Fest this week. Would you say that the artist Sexy Red, real or fake?
Sexy Red. Red. That's what would have happened at the Hangout Fest if I was out in the sun too long. They say, look at old Dan, look at old Sexy Red
there
out
will
there.
Be a lot of ugly and Sexy Red out there by Sunday, for
sexy
sure.
Sexy Red's got a real good seat there. He's really, old Dan, Sexy Red's enjoying himself out there. I would say Sexy Red is real.
You think Sexy Red is real?
I'm going to go with that.
All right, let's check with the judges here.
Please.
Is Sexy Red real? Sexy Red is definitely real and definitely playing at the Hangout Fest this week. All right, keep it going. You've now got a 5-3 lead here. Yeses to noes. Real or fake, Alice in Wonderland. You see what?
Alice in Wonderland. Wonderland is.
It's like a name, but it's also kind of not like a name.
Yeah, this is Dalton. I'll tell you, you are really good at doing this.
And you know, this week, my kid's dance was themed around the movie Alice in Wonderland, but this
so
is
you're
a
trying
band
to get
name,
me to say
Alice
that you made
Wonderland.
It up because you're trying to
no,
get
no,
me
I'm
to...
not trying to say anything, Dan.
You're trying to say, by the way, this week my kids had something going on with Alice in Wonderland, but I would say it's a real band.
You think Alice in Wonderland is a real band name? Mm-hmm. Let's check with the judges and
Yeah.
You're right. Yes, Alice in Wonderland. Playing at Hangout Fest this week.
I'm going to end up with a job at another like a rock station that I used to be affiliated with that company. They're going to recruit me and say, bro, you got to come on our station now. You got no choice, man. You're made for this.
All right, let's keep this rolling here. All right, is this a real band name or a fake band name? Candlejack. Candlejack.
I heard it the first time. Candlejack is, that was made up by you.
Candlejack was made up by me. Is that, that's final answer?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Was Candlejack made up by Dalton Orwig? You are right.
Candlejack.
All right, next one up here. Versace Don Vito.
Versace Don Vito. That'd be like a punk band from Venice.
I don't know a whole lot about these bands, honestly. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot of them myself these days.
Say the name of the band again.
Versace Don Vito.
Versace Don Vito. Versace Don Vito. Yes, it's a band.
You think that's a real band name?
I'm going for it.
All right. Is that a real band name, judges?
No!
Ah.
Another one. Another one created by yours truly.
Okay.
All right.
I was looking at Leanna. She's like my third base coach. I thought she might give me a little sign.
You're
like,
still leading. You have some room to play with here. Not many more names to go here. Okay. Is this a real band name or a fake band name? The Burnt Ends.
The Burnt Ends. Was Versace a real band?
Versace Don Vito was completely made up by me last night.
Burn Ends are real.
You think the Burn Ends are real?
I'm going to go with that.
Judges, what say you? Oh, she's saying no.
No.
All right. We get it, Alanis.
Burn Ends.
Burn Ends. I didn't come up with the name Burn Ends. It's a delicious food, right? Burn Ends on the barbecue. But that is not a real band name, and they are not playing at the Hangout Fest this week.
I applaud you. Another good one. Burn Ends, Father Norman. There was one more that I thought was...
There's two more here.
Okay.
And we'll decide whether you're winner or not. Is the band... I'm sorry. Let me readjust here. Is the band or person David Kushner... Is that a real artist, or is that something that I came up with last night? David Kushner.
David Kushner playing, I'd say that's a real artist.
You think David Kushner's a real artist?
Let's go with it.
Let's check. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Kushner. David Kushner, never heard of him. Sounds like someone who was in the Trump administration. But no, they are playing at the Hangout this week. And let's see, last one here. Is this a real band or a fake band? Rock Goes the Weasel.
Rock Goes the Weasel is a fake band.
Yeah, that one might have been a little too easy, but I was proud of myself with that one. Oh, Alanis, you're wrong. It was... Yes, so there you go. Final score. Dan, you easily won that one. 9-5. You got nine yeses, five noes.
It was a science behind it, trying to, you know, it was... That was... That I was trying to, you know... Would Dalton make this up, or would he make that up? It really had to do with what I was trying to figure out with your own my knowledge of your imagination.
Right. I mean, you know me too well.
I kind of know
you
well.
Some of the other fake ones we didn't get to.
Yeah.
Pineapple Slug.
Oh.
DJ Stutter. And Rose Lincoln. Those were a couple of the fake ones we did not get to there.
DJ Stutter, bless his heart. It's 8:20 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along.
106.5 Traffic.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 8:23 on your Thursday morning. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson's going to sit in with Sean Sullivan today, Midday Mobile. That program begins a little after 12 o'clock today, so please be listening.
Yeah, very very important interview, I would say. We'll see what the mayor has to say to Sean later today. We'll also talk with Rob Hobart about the latest between the city and former Police Chief Prine and that Kenyon Brown report and how much it cost, coming in at around $300,000. We'll talk with Rob about that on the way. Also, these debates between Biden and Trump that have been agreed to, we'll get into that as well. First, looking at the text line after a game we just played there regarding bands that are playing at the Hangout Fest this weekend. Bonesaw, and sorry, Bonesaw, I don't have your...
Zzz.
I don't have the zzz ready, the sound effect. He says, when do we get to start betting on how many arrests will happen this weekend? Also, I love my sound effect. Kind of wish that it said bonesaw in a Billy Bob Thornton accent from Sling Blade, because I sure do love me some of them French fried taters.
Hey,
with mustard.
We can put all that together.
I can do that for sure. Yeah. You can bet whenever you want to, Bonesaw, on how many arrests will be made at the Hangout Fest this weekend. And then for what? What will be these arrests for? Backstrap Stacker says, The Burnt Ends, a band you can smoke pot to while eating barbecue. Yeah. And that was a fake band name, The Burnt Ends. Yeah. I think I was hungry when I made this list last night.
I don't know that term. I don't know that barbecue term.
Oh, you need to have some burnt ends. We'll see if we can get Joey.
I missed that.
Well, you've really missed out. We'll see if we can get Joey Mason, Mason Hills Farm, maybe get you some burnt ends.
Okay.
Knowing our audience, someone will probably bring some up here before long. Texter here says, y'all sound like Johnny Carson and Karnak the Magnificent. Karnak the Magnificent. I know who Johnny Carson is.
Well, that was a he was a... a character.
Okay.
Carson would put on this Persian,
oh, yes,
kind of headdress.
Yes. I know that. I didn't realize the name of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Philip says, Sexy Red song, Ski Yee. Look it up. Y'all will like it.
Okay.
Sexy Red, again, a real person playing at the Hangout Fest this week. And BA says, this game is worth it for the judges' responses alone. I got to say, I had a great time putting together the Alanis Morissette audio from last night. I think I fell in love with her again.
Yeah, I know.
All over again.
I know.
Alanis, I mean.
Came in a little misty-eyed.
No!
Yeah, I know. She brought it, man. She's a little crazy. Yeah, but that was part of the appeal. Mm-hmm. Like, this girl is, there's four of her in this car. There's four different versions of her in this car, and they're all crazy, and they're driving to nowhere, and something's going on here.
Yeah.
And she's got gloves on her. She's got, like, cut-out wool I don't know.
And she didn't get less crazy. She just got less popular over the years.
Yeah, I guess so. But when she was in her, I guess, mid-20s, or whatever what was at that time, she was an appealing little thing.
And I still can't believe that song, You Ought to Know, was all about Joey from Full House, Uncle Joey.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Who knew he had that kind of swagger to pull off Alanis?
No, they did not seem like they would have been
a pair
at all.
No. And of course, you know, it's not all rosy when it comes to the Hangout Fest. There have been some disagreements over the years with locals and the big music festival. Texter here says, the Hangout Dope Festival is a stain on the community, all for one guy to make money. The locals don't want it. Gulf Shores city government sucks. So, like Sean says, I'll put you down as undecided on that one. Not a fan of the Hangout Music Fest. And then your friendly neighborhood banker says, if you want further proof that humanity is devolving, listen to Sexy Red. All right. So,
so we get one of our listeners said, hey, check out the song by Sexy Red. It's really good.
Ski Yee. Well, I don't think he said it was really good.
Oh,
he just said, we'll like it. So I think it's funny, probably.
Okay.
I think I've actually heard the song Ski Yee. Maybe it's just so ridiculous he thinks we'll find it entertaining. We'll have to check it out, but not on the air, because I think that would revoke our FCC license.
So I was busting my brain here, because one of the two band names that you made up that I loved, like that could be a band name, was Father Norman. Mm-hmm. I love that one. And then it was Johnny and the...
Buddy.
Buddy and the Icebreakers.
Buddy and the Icebreakers.
That has got so much potential. And I was thinking to myself, there was somewhere back in the 80s, a song I played on some station in Macon or Athens or something, and it was a name similar to that, and I found them.
Who is it?
Frankie and the Knockouts. So
out of Jersey.
We'll come back, maybe. We'll come back with the little Frankie and the Knockouts from our next break.
That'll be great. I mentioned this new cocaine investigation in D.C. First, it was the White House. Now, the Capitol Police Headquarters, a new cocaine mystery. Capitol Police said yesterday the agency's investigating how a small bag, it's always a small bag, isn't it, that tested positive for cocaine wound up in its headquarters. It's about a 10-minute walk from where the House and the Senate meet. 1-inch by 1-inch Ziploc baggie containing a white powder was found on a hallway floor near offices that deal with crime scene intel and reports processing.
Well, doesn't that make sense that it would be there?
They dropped it. You think someone was like maybe doing some training, dropped the cocaine there, a little off the record training going on? They said the hallway is on the second floor in an area that has been a staging spot for furniture and supplies. The area is heavily trafficked by various contractors and employees. So they're already throwing the contractors under the bus here. They found it yesterday afternoon. Capitol Police's Investigations Division is investigating. This comes 10 months after cocaine mysteriously appeared at the White House. Now, they're going to use DNA testing to try to find the culprit here. But of course, we know what happened with the White House cocaine. Secret Service agents, after an 11-day investigation, wrapped it without naming a suspect. We'll know whether that was a real or fake investigation if they turn someone up for this Capitol Police investigation.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll see. Cocaine everywhere in D.C. 830 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning. That's them right there, Frankie and the Knockouts.
Frankie. They are good.
1981.
Some good yacht rock.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of those blue-eyed soul dudes doing the thing back around 79, 80, 81, 82. You know, I mean, like Wet Willie a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
I can hear it.
Yeah. It's 8:35. That all came from Dalton in our game we just played about the real band, fake band. And he had two names that he made up. That right away, I was like, man, those are great names, and for different reasons. One was, and I don't really know the reasons, it's just like, to me, it's like, oh, that's a great name. Father Norman. Love it. Father Norman should be a band.
You think so? That would
I
be
do
good.
Think so.
I think so. And then the other one you like, Buddy and the Icebreakers.
Buddy huh? and the Icebreakers, and I thought that was great, and I'm thinking, reminds me of something from back in the day, and Frankie and the Knockouts.
Frankie and the Knockouts.
Buddy and the Icebreakers would open for Frankie and the Knockouts, I guess.
That would be something
if
else.
I don't think Frankie and the Knockouts. I don't think that was 1981. If they made it to 1982, best to. Because I don't remember that career being long lasting.
A man who knows a thing or two about bands, real bands.
Yeah, he's in a band.
Yeah, that would be Rob Holbert with Lanyap online at lanyapmobile.com. And Rob joins us this morning. Good morning, Rob.
I'd like to be one of the Icebreakers. I think that sounds pretty cool.
I do, too.
I mean, they're just begging you to be an opener, right? Buddy and the Icebreakers.
Maybe they can open for Mike and the Mechanics.
Mike and the Mechanics back in the day, yeah. Frankie and the Knockouts.
Yeah. So, Rob, have you been down to the Hangout Fest, or has it been some time? Or
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been. It's been a few years, but, I used to go all the time.
Yeah, and if you're anything like me, which Rob is probably more hip to the music scene than I am, for sure.
Probably not.
Well, I just don't recognize so many of these names anymore. But
that's why I haven't been in a few years. So.
But you know what? It's like if you go to Jazz Fest and you just plop in front of a stage, you're probably going to see a good band. You know, mm-hmm. you might not know who they are, but you'll appreciate them once you hear them. I think that can happen.
Oh, yeah, down there, sure.
Right? Like, music's music, right?
Right, yeah. It's a good time, for sure. Not having a good time would be certainly some people with the city of Mobile this week, and I guess the big news coming this week was what you guys had over at Lanyap yesterday. Until Dale Leisch's report, we have been saying that this Kenyon Brown report would come in at a cost of around $79,000, just because that's the number that had been floated. But it's actually much closer to $300,000, Rob.
Yeah, it's real close. It's like $297,000, I think, something mm-hmm. like that. And then, you know, on top of it, there was a part of the report got into over at Excel Academy that allegedly a assistant principal had yanked some girl by the hair, and somehow the report kind of strayed off of what MPD was doing and got into that arena, claiming somebody at the school, a vice principal, had pulled a girl's hair, and they're walking that back today, yesterday, that apparently didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Brown apologized. It doesn't look great. Yeah, it's kind of a mess in that regard. So it's a lot of things right now regarding all this investigation kind of has cost, it's leaving bad taste in some people's mouths. I think it's cost a lot. You have this issue coming back. The city's even pushed back against some of the findings on the from the Brown report. And then now we're gearing up for another investigation from the city council, the mayor's office. This is not the kind of area that Sandy Stimson's administration has been involved in. You know, this is not the kind of thing they've been involved in it almost 12 years he's been there. So it's kind of uncharted territory for them in regards to having to deal with a lot of these, I guess I would say, outside distractions and mm-hmm. issues that are not related to running the city as much as they are to how things are happening behind the scenes.
Well, it doesn't appear that these things are just happening to them. It seems that they're the cause of some of this. How does 297,000? How do you commission a report and not know what the final price tag is going in?
Well, I mean, you're paying a guy $1,000 an hour.
I got you. Okay.
They starting at that place, and I guess if he decides to go off and start investigating a vice principal instead of police, the money starts running up.
Yeah.
I don't know why, those are questions that maybe, that's one of the things that get into, you hear the council talking about this, the city investigation, the investigation of the mayor's office and what with regards to the Prime, to what Chief Prime had to say, and narrowing scope, saying this is going to be the scope. And people say, well, can't you just let it be whatever comes up?
Right.
And, so there's that school of thought, well, you should let it just be whatever comes up, or you get this kind of thing where all of a sudden, well, something comes up that looks bad over here, let's go and investigate that too. Mm. And maybe it's not really germane to what was going on, to what we started out with.
Right, right.
And so, we're...
So I think that's kind of where they are with it. And I don't think there's really a super tight scope on what Kenyon Brown was going to investigate. And, I'm not saying that particular thing drove the cost up that high, but
right.
I'm just saying if they were going off in all these different nooks and crannies, or as William Carroll famously said the other day, looking for boogers, then I think... That's where you can really run up some costs, I think.
Yeah, I chose to leave that quote out of the story as I was editing the story. I didn't see the need for the first time ever to say boogers on the radio.
Well, we used it as the headline because you just don't get that kind of thing. Well,
and, it's one thing to be paying someone $1,000 an hour to investigate something. But when the report comes out and it's chock full of misspelled names, misspelled words, and then on top of that, you have at least two of these six cases that he investigated being called into question, some of the things that were alleged, and that's just at least two of the six, then this is a real problem. It's almost like we paid ourselves $300,000 to punch ourselves in the face. And I know there's, probably some truth to some of the things that were in that Kenyon Brown report, but when you call one major thing like that into question, then it calls the rest of the report into question.
Yeah, it's if you live in the world of having to be accurate, and if you're writing news stories and you get facts wrong, it discredits the story, right? And if you're writing reports and you get things wrong and misspell things and have information that's incorrect, it tends to discredit the rest of it. So I think that's kind of where people are. A lot of folks are looking at it saying, well, if you got this wrong, what else did you get wrong?
Mm-hmm. Fair.
It's not the most shining moment for Mr. Brown in that regard, I think. He's a very nice man, but we've run across the issues about, whether he should have been involved in doing this investigation of, police, of these police issues, given his relationships with people in the city. But, mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's tainted the report at all. It just said that people look at it and say, well, he's got a relationship. It's not a good thing. When you've got the city actually pushing back at some of the things on the report, that may fly in the face of that you got a report that was tailored to what the city wanted. I still think it's kind of a bad circumstance if you're doing this kind of thing. And I know that's one of the things that is going on with the city council looking at the investigation they're going to have. They're trying to find somebody who has no connections. They're trying to make a break from that, so there's not a look like, hey, we're finding somebody who's got, who does business with the city or who knows old Joe over here, and mm-hmm. you know, they're good friends, that kind of thing. So maybe at least hopefully offers a little more independence.
Well, we'll see where that city council investigation goes once they get someone. I don't think it's the last of the money spent on that Kenyon Brown report. Let's talk about your latest opinion piece this week. And I spent a lot of time, a lot more than usual, this past weekend downtown as I was in and out of the convention center and then hopping around town, grabbing some food at places I have not eaten yet. Front Yard Tacos we had this weekend, St. Francis Street, really good.
Oh, that's great. That's great, yeah.
It's really good. And downtown, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but there's a lot of great new food places. Mm-hmm. I saw people walking down the middle of the street with baby strollers and dogs, just something you wouldn't have seen maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And,
sure.
Rob, you're talking about the improvements made downtown, but you still feel that there could be a lot done, including specifically with retail.
Well, I think that's been the big thing when you look at this. I mean, this renaissance downtown has been going on for 35 years now, really, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, you know, the promise has always sort of been, you know, if you get people to live down here, we'll get retail. You know, the entertainment kind of led the way. Sooner or later, retail is going to come down. And it really hasn't. And I think, you know, to me, the big thing that holds that back, I think the biggest thing holding downtown back is just there's still a lot of derelict properties along the main strip even. I mean, just, I walked down Dolphin or went down Dolphin the other day and just counted vacant properties and properties that are vacant and that are derelict properties. And, you know, you're over 20 plus properties that are vacant and you know, blighted.
Yeah, on the main strip.
And, that's a lot just on Dolphin Street.
Dolphin Street. Yes.
And that's not counting the spaces. If you count, you know, some of these buildings are broken up into three or four different spaces. You know, when you talk about spaces, you're getting way over 30 at that point that are vacant or blighted just on Dolphin Street. And so, you know, the question, basically I'm just saying that, you know, as we're looking at getting a new head of Downtown Mobile Alliance, and I'm not putting all this on Downtown Mobile Alliance by any stretch, but just saying, if you're getting a new person in charge of that, I hope that this focus, a big part of the focus, is going to be in taking care of this, because a lot of these people that have held these properties for decades now that have just never done anything with it, and there's got to be some standard. I mean, you can't have, if you're trying to do business down there and you're trying to open up a shop or open up a restaurant, and the guy next to you is going to leave plywood on the front of his building forever and ever and never do anything with it. It's a hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't, those families that are walking down the street are going to walk to areas that are blighted. You know, if you're walking down in front of Bienville Square, the brand new redone Bienville Square, which looks gorgeous, those buildings along there don't look so great.
Mm.
Yeah, right on Dolphin Street, there's a lot of blight right there. I mean, for instance, there's just that issue, I think, is one. It's the old broken window theory of, you know, if somebody in your neighborhood has a house that's with broken windows and, you know, boards on the windows and it's run down, it starts to run the whole neighborhood down.
Right.
And I think that's where we are with the downtown. I just think you're not going to get that level of investment with everything looking the way it is. To me, at mm-hmm. least, at the very minimum, there ought to be some standards for the facades for these buildings, that they're not allowed to put plywood on there and leave it on there and have broken windows and burglar bars and stuff like that all over the place.
Hey, Rob, as far as people living downtown, are we not kind of at our limit? Like, whatever is available down there is occupied? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know where occupancy is, but, I mean, certainly a lot more people live downtown than did 20 years ago.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's certainly a lot more apartments have come online, that kind of thing. So you have an increased population down there. But, I mean, we work down there. I would say some things are kind of stagnant a little bit. You know, you get some new restaurants, you lose some restaurants. The bar scene has changed, I think, considerably. But the retail scene is just still there, and I'm not putting down, there are retailers down there, there are retailers. I'm not saying there's not retailers. Mm-hmm. Some people get upset and they're like, oh, we're down here. I get it. But if you're on one end of downtown and you're looking for something else, you know, some retail, you've probably got a long walk.
Right.
You know, there's not a, it's not spread out, and there's certainly, like, you know, if you want to go to a, you know, basically go to a pharmacy or something like that, there's a pharmacy on Royal Street, but if you're down on the other end of downtown, you're pretty far away from one.
Yeah, you're having a barbecue at Moe's. You got a long way to go.
Well, you know, after eating it.
There's a lot of, I mean, I just think there's a lot of things there. There's a lot of infill that could still be happening, and it just doesn't seem like that. And you go look at, I mean, go over to Pensacola, go to St. Augustine, go to small, there's a lot of smaller towns that have very vibrant entertainment districts that are full of, they have retail as well. I mean, look at Fairhope. I mean, just mm-hmm. look, there's a lot of, you know, if you're wandering around Fairhope, there's a lot of shopping you can do as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think those are issues that we need to kind of get to the next level. I think that's what we have to get.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's not going to get there with burned out buildings all over the place. And some of these people that own the buildings have, there's some businesses, there's some corporations, there's some people who have the means to do something with them, I think.
Yeah, and we'll see how some of these major changes that are on the way also affect the rest of downtown, including, of course, the big Civic Center project. And, you know, after eating at some of those restaurants, I do need the long walk that it takes to get to
yeah,
wherever I'm
right,
headed next.
Right.
Yeah, he absolutely. Needed to walk to the Royal Street Pharmacy and grab some Tums.
Walk it off. Rob, for the latest issue of Lagniappe, it's on stands now. How can folks sign up online, and how much time do we have left to vote in the nappies?
You got about a week and a half left on nappy voting. It's still going. And then, you know, go to lagniappemobile.com if you want to sign up and become a subscriber. Putting news out every day. There's lots and lots of stories. We're basically a new daily newspaper online. So if you're just reading once a week, you're missing a lot of news. And it's only $1 for the first month and $6.50 a month after that. So very inexpensive.
Dalton and I and Sean, Jeff Poor, not missing a thing, man. We are subscribers and we love it.
I
so
got you.
Appreciate you, man.
Good deal.
Okay, buddy.
All right, guys.
All right, Rob Holbert, Lagniappe, lagniappemobile.com. And coming back, we'll wrap up this edition of Mobile Mornings. Get you ready for the Jeff Poor Show on the way next. AM 856 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Located right here in Mobile, been doing great work in our area for over 16 years now, and they do a great job of it. If you don't believe me, just Google them, and then check out the reviews left by people who have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK services. They have 271 reviews, all 5 stars. That's the best you can get. And this review left by Chris just a month ago: Trey's company is top-notch. It doesn't get any better. Trey showed up, gave me a great estimate, and in half a day, his professional crew was done clearing an 800-square-foot shed stacked up with junk the previous homeowner left. I will definitely use Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK again, and I highly recommend them. And I agree with Chris there. I highly recommend 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk piled up in your backyard or a room in your house or maybe in your business, just give them a call. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number. They'll come out, give you a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing, and then do a great job of getting rid of that junk. You can set up that appointment online as well as the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Got a text from a friend, came up with a fake band, Brock Bowers and the All-Americans. That's not bad, and that's very SEC-centric.
It's kind of, yeah, if they had done their own version of the Super Bowl Shuffle,
yeah,
that would have been a good... good. What did the Sugar Bowl Shuffle?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Jeff Poor Show on the way next, and he'll talk with the Republican representative in the AL2 race, Caroline Dobson, joining Jeff hopefully in the first hour. State Representative Donna Givens in hour number 2, and then April Marie Fogle in hour number 3.
It's going to be interesting to see what Caroline Dobson does in terms of sizing up her opponent, or if she does much talk about that at all. I mean, she did take some, she focused a little bit on Dick Brubaker a little bit in that race. He wasn't too happy about it, but mm-hmm. She got personal in a way. And you've got Shamari Figures, who for the last number of years lived up in Washington, D.C. I don't know if that's going to be a tactic of hers or not.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be a very interesting next few months going into that. And then we'll have to get into a deeper discussion tomorrow on these two debates coming up between Biden and Trump. The first one next month.
Yeah.
June 27th. It's the CNN headquarters. It's a road game for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Actually, both will be road games. I think the other one is on ABC News. But what does each candidate need to do to come out successful? That's something we'll discuss tomorrow.
8:59 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along today. Don't forget that Mayor Sandy Stimson with Sean Sullivan today on Midday Mobile.